Well, good morning.
Good morning.
And welcome to this service here at Unity Center of Light, located in Bowie, Maryland. I'm Reverend Millage Mosby.
And I'm Pamela Mosby.
And we look forward to bringing you this service today and invite you to join us in the Zoom fellowship following this message and meditation. Now, in the Zoom fellowship, you will be able to hear beautiful music. If you have never been to one before, we have some great music. You'll have a chance to discuss and ask questions about the message and fellowship with your Unity family. And you can find the link for the Zoom fellowship in the weekly update that comes each week and also the e-newsletter. And if you do not receive either the e-newsletter or the weekly update, please see the information below. If you're watching this on YouTube, you just click where it says Show More and below, and you'll see the URL to our website where you can sign up so we can make sure that you can get that e-newsletter and weekly update. And if you've been spiritually fed by this message and meditation, please consider donating to the Unity Center of Light. We would really appreciate it. And if you're looking again at this service on YouTube, you can still click on that same Show More link below, and you'll see the various ways that you can give and support us. And again, we thank you in advance for your generous support. So we're going to get started now with Pamela.
Thank you. Good morning, Unity family, and welcome to the Unity Center of Light, a spiritual community that nurtures the growth of all who are seeking to develop the potential of their spirit, mind, and body. Please join me as we affirm our mission and foundation statements together. Let's begin with the mission statement. The mission of Unity Center of Light is to empower individuals to express their indwelling divine potential. We teach there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. And now let's affirm our foundation statement. Together, there is only one power and one presence active in my life and affairs, God the Good, Omnipotent. Amen. And now we have the daily word reading for today, Sunday, June the 5th. The key word is truth. And the affirmation is, the light of truth shines in my heart. Like a kaleidoscope, shifting patterns of dazzling colors, my life is always changing. Some of the changes I may like, and others I may not. But I accept the changes nonetheless. I enjoy pleasurable moments while learning and growing through the more unpleasant ones. No matter where I find myself along the spectrum of human experience, I take comfort in spiritual truth. God is changeless, my rock and refuge in times of struggle, and the wings that lift me in times of ease and bliss. I remain steady and calm even as I navigate life's inevitable changes, finding lasting comfort in the truth of God as absolute goodness. As I travel along my unique path, the steady light of truth shines within me. And the scripture reading is taken from 1 John 2:8, and it reads, Yet I am writing you a new commandment that is true in him as in you, because the darkness is passing away and the true light is already shining. Amen. And now we will have the Sunday message with the Reverend Butch.
Thank you, hon. All right, so we are still on this journey, the infinite way. But each week we're just taking a little bit different approach. So this week it's going to be the infinite way to fearless living, or sometimes I have find myself saying the infinite way to a fearless life. So, but anyway, that's we're going to look at that concept of fearless. And where this came from was just in some changes I'm making in my life, and of course a lot of these talks come out of what I'm going through or how I'm perceiving life. But I was thinking about this idea of fear versus faith. You know, which of these is the rule under which you live and breathe and have your being? Remember last week we were talking about the rule. So which of these is the rule under which, again, we live and breathe and have our being? And the question is, do we actually know which of these rules our life, fear or faith? Do we know? Do you actually know? Do I actually know? You know, which of these is the ruling power in our consciousness? That's what we're going to evaluate today. So our intellect may profess that it operates under the rule of faith. Okay, especially if we've been studying for a long time and, you know, living with, say, well, I live under the rule of faith. While our thoughts, words, and actions may demonstrate something very different. Okay. Now, Joel Osteen says this. He says, fear and faith have something in common. They both ask us to believe in something that we cannot see. Okay. So ask yourself, on what foundation, you know, talking to yourself, self, on what foundation is my mind, body, and spirit standing? Is it fear or is it faith? And the thing about fear, too, is it's so subtle. A lot of times the things we're doing, the decisions we make, are fear-based instead of faith-based, but we don't really see it that way because it's sort of the natural way that human beings respond to certain things in their lives, okay? But on a more profound question to ask ourselves is, maybe, do I really know which one that I'm operating on, okay? So to help us discern the question, you know, the answer to the question, remember last week we were talking about being able to come up with the right question. So to help us to discern the answer to this question is, am I operating on fear or am I operating on faith? Listen to this proverb. It's in Proverbs 31, verses 25 through 28. And in here, you're going to hear what it sounds like or looks like or feels like to be living on faith. Okay. So it says, she is clothed with strength and dignity. She can laugh at the days to come. She speaks with wisdom and faithful instructions on her tongue. She watches over the affairs of her household and does not eat the bread of idleness. Her children arise and call her blessed, her husband also, as he praises her for her faithfulness. Okay. So, you know, this is a description of what it's like to be grounded in faith. Not only does this scripture describe the understanding that this person has of herself, okay? So she's answering that, she could answer that question with, I am grounded in faith, okay? But it also describes how others close to her witness to her wisdom and her faithfulness. You know, so it's not just her, but people around her, her husband, her children, probably her friends and all, you know, say, this is a woman of faith because everything about her demonstrates that. You know, as the scripture explains, she is clothed in strength and dignity. So what do we see as we look in the mirror? Okay. What is reflected back to us? And again, as I always say, this is not about condemnation. Remember, we're doing self-observation without condemnation. This is really about discovering the truth about ourselves. And it's the age-old adage that we've always been saying that you will not wake up if you do not even know that you're asleep, okay? So that's what we're trying to understand is, are we asleep to how we are showing up in the world? Are we asleep to the rule under which we operate? Am I really operating under faith or am I really operating under fear, okay? So our training as true students is to have the courage to look in the mirror clearly to discover the truth about ourselves. Now, what are we clothed in? Is it faith or is it fear? And then, you know, the challenge, of course, that we get from Paul, like expressed in 1 Corinthians 13:12, you know, often when we look in the mirror, we're looking in the mirror dimly, possibly due to an unconscious unwillingness to see what is really there. But to be fair to ourselves, and that's the key, we always want to be fair to this process. Fear-based decision-making may be what we have been clothed in because it is the nature of humanity created in a socialization process. Okay? We were socialized to think of certain things in a fearful nature. We come up with strategies and whatnot, but are those strategies also based on fear or are they based on faith? You know, and Carl Jung calls this idea of, you know, operating according to how we've been socialized by, you know, the human experience. He calls that the collective unconscious. We are not conscious of how we are making these decisions. So our divine commission is to become conscious so that we can be able to look in the mirror clearly and discern with certainty, what are we clothed in? What am I clothed in? Is it faith or is it fear? And if we discover that many of our decisions are based on fear rather than faith, it enables us to make better decisions about the prayer work that we need to do. Okay, you get what I'm saying? So once we understand, we kind of wake up to the fact of, yeah, you know, a lot of these decisions I'm making are really based on fear rather than faith, then it helps us to make some other decisions about what prayer work we need to do. And as true students, we understand that all transformation work needs spiritual support. Okay, as we always say, the ego cannot easily jump out of the ego. So every time we say, I need to transform, I need to make this shift in consciousness, we have to understand that we need spiritual support. Because as earnest as we might be about going about this transformation process, we cannot do it by ourselves. So it is knowing in our mind, heart, and soul that God is always with us, guiding us through every step of our spiritual journey. That gives us the strength and courage to accept and endure the transformation process we must go through. And as we read in Isaiah 41, 10, we are told, it says, I have chosen you, and I will not reject you. So do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. Okay. So this is a promise we have from God, the divine, within us. And if we are still thinking, well, where is this God, especially when I need God in particular circumstances in my life, where is this God? Well, back to basics. God is everywhere present as a presence. And here's the key. And appears where and when and what we need God to be. Okay. So God is always ready to appear and always appearing. But this divine intervention can only be recognized by divine intelligence. So you might ask, well, what do I do to develop divine intelligence? The simple answer is through the daily practice of prayer, meditation, and spiritual contemplation, we begin to elevate ourselves to higher and higher ways of realizing that Spirit is working in our lives. That's sort of what I want to get to. So sometimes you go through your prayer, your meditation, your spiritual contemplation, you kind of go like, well, nothing really happened. Something always happens. It's just that it does not happen in a way that you actually recognize it. But the dedication to the process eventually causes you to recognize how this divine presence is working in your life. Basically, you want to be in a mindset where you are continuously looking for God. You want to be in a mindset where you're continuously looking for God, feeling for God, being willing and open to experience God in every aspect of your life. Where and when and what you need God to be. Because again, as we read in Isaiah 41:10, I have chosen you and I will not reject you. So do not fear, for I am with you. You know, do not be dismayed. I will strengthen you and help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand. So we have that promise. So it is our work to come to know this with every fiber of our being. That's really the nature of faith. And what's interesting is we all know what fear feels like with every fiber of our being, if you get what I'm saying. We know that feeling. So now we're looking for understanding, what does faith feel like in every fiber of our being? Because without this inner knowing, there will always be a temptation to give in to fear when we're making decisions about our lives. So it is our work to become like the Bible figure who clothed herself with strength and dignity and who spoke with wisdom and faithful instructions on her tongue. So the typical thought in Christianity is to celebrate and revere the divinity in Jesus. And that's true. But our studies in unity are not only to reveal the Christ in Jesus, but it's also to reveal the reality of our own universal divine kinship with Jesus. Simply speaking, we are also the Christ. It is our work to reveal our awareness of our indwelling Christ by the way we show up in the world. And it's important to understand that the unity way does not negate other paths of truth. Okay, so I don't want us to get caught up in, you know, I'm I'm unity. I follow the way of unity because we don't negate the other paths of truth. We do not forsake the way of the Hindu or the Buddhist or the Jew or the Muslim or the yogi or the Baha'i or the indigenous cultures like the Native Americans who hold the way of nature and Mother Earth as to be a sacred path. In unity, we embrace all the paths of truth. It's just that we translate the truth for ourselves through the teachings of Jesus. So unity, truth students, pursue the path of practical Christianity. And the word practical means governed by or acquired through practice or action rather than theory, speculation, or simply the espousing of ideals. And you've heard me say this so many times, that we are practical Christians. We practice what it is that we learn and understand. So the word again, practical, refers to being involved in a certain kind of work where you practice daily to become proficient in that work, as in the transformation from a thought process based on fear to one based solely on faith. That takes daily work, daily practice in every aspect of everything you find yourself involved in. So the purpose of the daily practice is to raise our consciousness to the level of that which we are studying. Okay? The purpose of our daily practice is to raise our consciousness to that of the level of which we are studying. So it is the mission of the truth movement, the mission of unity, and the mission of this center to provide the spiritual teaching that will raise our consciousness to a level where we can discover the truth for ourselves. That truth being, there is a power within each of us far greater than anything that exists outside of us. But to know this, to really know this, we have to practice daily living from the inside out. Okay? When stuff happens on the outside, we need to go within and listen for that guidance so that when we come back out into the world, we have an understanding, a guidance as to how to proceed with whatever it is that life is presenting us with. So this is what Jesus was trying to convey to us. The value of life comes not from having much, which a lot of times is in the forefront of our mind, but it comes from being much. Being much to of showing love and appreciation for all that you have been. And you know, it's not just about only surviving, but it's about growing in wisdom and understanding, you know. So that's the key. We want to try, you know, yes, you know, all of us want to gain as much as we possibly can to make our lives the way that we want it to be. But it's also this idea, like I said, about being much, okay? Being much from the standpoint of having a lot of love and appreciation for all that we have been through, all that you have been through. Think about it. Love and appreciation for all that you've been through, because there's so many things in our lives, I know we're saying, oh, I wish I hadn't gone through that. But maybe as we've gotten older, we can look back and say, but if I didn't go through that, I wouldn't be where I am today, okay? And we went through all the things. We didn't only survive as we went through, but we grew in wisdom and understanding, okay? Listen to this anonymous quote. It says, work on being in love with the person in the mirror who has been through so much, but is still standing. Okay? So that's kind of the key to it. However, let's be clear that it's not the pursuit of outer accomplishments, outer things that stifle our spiritual awareness. Let me say this again. It is not the pursuit of outer accomplishments or things that we want in our lives that stifle our spiritual awareness. Because it is our passionate endeavors in life that bring us excitement, intrigue, and bring great joy into our lives, okay? So a lot of things we find ourselves doing out here is what gives us so much great joy. So it's not about that, okay? It's not about the pursuit of our outer goals that interferes with our inner spiritual growth. Rather, it is when we are in pursuit of our outer goals in a state of fear and worry and anxiety and frustration. That is what blocks our conscious spiritual connection. Okay? So all that we do out here that gives us great joy, that we have a passion for, all that we do it, but without any fear, okay, without any anxiety. Do it with great joy, knowing you're being guided every step of the way that you go. So this is, again, we don't want to stifle that divine inspiration. That only would be guiding us to greater and greater accomplishments. That's sort of the idea of seek ye first the kingdom. So as you're going after the things out here, you remember, you're making that inner connection. So as you go out, you're getting that divine guidance as you go along the way. And also be okay with the fact that that divine guidance may be coming each time you take a step. In other words, it may not just all fall in place like we always like to have our map or our plan about where we're going to do and where and what's going to happen. It may not happen that way. You may need to take the step for the divine guidance to come. Okay. So as we're trying to understand this truth, let's be real. Right now, we are going through some real tough times. And the news media will not let us forget that. Okay. And whether it is a fact or a fiction that's created by those in power, it really doesn't matter. You know, because we keep hearing it, the gas is because those in power are not, prices are going because those in power are not what they should be doing. Or the prices of food are going up because those in power are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. It doesn't really matter, okay? The fact is that the fluctuation in the coronavirus, you know, that keeps coming up with different variances, the rising consumer prices, senseless shootings, the war in Ukraine, and a host of other challenges, this can make it difficult to tune out the negative noise and tune into the divine. But tuning into the divine is our work, and we do it every day to the best of our ability. And yes, quite often it is a struggle, okay? It's a struggle. We go out there and we do our best. And even in that best that we do, it just doesn't seem to be enough sometimes, okay? Listen to these words from Yasmin Mogahed, American educator, motivational speaker, who specializes in spirituality, psychology, and personal development. This is how she expresses it. She says, like a double-edged sword, our greatest strengths are often our greatest weaknesses. For me, that has always been caring too much and feeling too intensely. It allowed me to understand and deeply connect to people, but it has also been the cause of a lot of heartache. For everything, there is a price. Okay. So the question for each of us to ask ourselves is, what price am I willing to pay to live my life from a consciousness of faith and love? Let me ask it again. What price am I willing to pay to live my life from a consciousness of faith and love? And the key is that no one can answer that question for us. But one who is grounded in truth knows there is never any need for fear and worry and anxiety or frustration. And if you really think about it, we're actually evolving in conscious understanding of these spiritual concepts every single day. Let me say that again. If you think about it, you know, you might say, well, geez, I just haven't gotten it yet. But you have gotten it to a certain degree. You've gotten it to a certain level because you've been trying to live these principles. We have been trying to live these principles. And in that process, we do get it. Maybe not at the seventh level, if you know about the seven levels of consciousness, the Christ level, but we are getting it. As true students, we are working on detecting the mental indicators, signs and signals we can use to help us realize the state of our consciousness and the mindset that we're functioning from, okay? So like fear and worry and anxiety and frustration, and the real big one, the incessant need or willfulness, need to be right all the time, these are clear indicators that we still have spiritual work to do, okay? They're not things to get upset about, that you say, oh, I'm still getting upset or worried about this. It's just an indicator that we still have more work to do. However, it's interesting to note that all of our fear and worry and anxiety and frustration are indicators of a longing for intimate awareness of the presence of the Christ in our lives, or the presence of the Holy Spirit, whichever one you feel, you know, comfortable with. So whenever you feel yourself in fear, worry, and anxiety, and frustration, you're saying, wow, that's an indication that I'm longing for an intimate awareness of the presence of the Christ in my life. And we do not translate, you know, it in that way. You know, when we think about it, you know, when we're in fear, worry, anxiety, we're frustrated. We don't translate it in that way. We don't say, oh, boy, this is, you know, I'm in this state because, you know, I want an intimate relationship with the Christ. We always say it's because of, and we point to something outside of ourselves, you know. But at the root of the human psyche, there is this longing, this basic need for divine connection with our Creator. And ironically, what we do not yet understand is that simultaneously, as we have this longing to connect with our Creator, simultaneously, as we are unconsciously having that longing, our Creator is longing for a connection with us. That's why embedded in every lesson, there is a reference to the extreme importance of practicing just being still and listening, allowing the connection to occur. This is how Charles Fillmore said about this. He said, we get a good idea of the meaning of the will of God when we think of that will as a ceaseless longing of the Creator to perfect itself in that which it has created. Okay? So, you know, if this is true, then there is a divine unfolding that's constantly seeking to occur within us. But as Jesus explained, in order for the divine unfolding to occur, you must not worry about your life. Okay? Again, easier said than done. We're talking concepts here that we're trying to begin to understand. So just think about it. Don't worry. You know, can you even visualize the concept of living your life without worrying about something? Okay? A life where you live in a constant state of divine knowing that all in your life is unfolding in a good and wonderful way. Can you visualize that? Can you hold that idea? You know, as the scripture described, to be able to speak with wisdom and faithful instructions on your tongue. So as we all, you know, well, as we are right now, probably not. You know, we probably can't think of what it's like to totally live life without any fear. But according to Dr. Carl Jung, we actually are predisposed to live our life under God's will instead of our own. In the book, An Instruction to Jung's Psychology by Frieda Fordham, this is what she says. It says, the study of the archetypes of the collective unconscious has led Jung to some interesting conclusions, one of the most important of which is that humankind prepossesses what he describes as a natural religious function, and that our psychic health and stability depend on the proper expression of this function. Okay? So I repeat Carl Jung says. He tells us that we have embedded within our consciousness a natural religious function, and that our psychic health and stability depend on the proper expression of this religious function. So it is natural for us, innate within us, to surrender our will to God's will. And further, Jung is saying we would not be surrendering to something foreign and distant or separate from ourselves. Rather, we'd be surrendering to that which has existence in us before we developed our own will. So as it is written in John 17:4, and you know this verse, Jesus was explaining to us that, you know, when he said, he was telling us about this, that we had this connection before we developed our own will. And that's when he said, now, Father, glorify me in thy presence with the glory which I had with thee before the world was made. So we have typically thought of that saying as meaning before the earth was created. But on a psycho-spiritual level, Jesus is saying, bring me back to the relationship I had with you before my ego came to be, before my own willfulness came to be. And you can hear it in his words, and now, Father, glorify me. However, we really can't blame or judge ourselves for wandering off from our relationship with our indwelling spirit. Okay? We can't blame ourselves because we wandered off without realizing that's what we were doing. You know, as we were growing up, did you ever have anybody saying you're wandering off from your, you know, your connection with your indwelling spirit? No. You know, We wandered off because our attention was externally directed. But now our paths have brought us to this infinite way, this unity way of spiritual exploration. That is teaching us how to be internally directed so we can find our way back home. So we struggle, you know, weighing what we have known against the new insights we're gaining, okay, which is right, you know, which is right, you know, the way what I'm hearing or where how I've been. Okay, we begin to ponder that. And that's the essence of the spiritual journey, that being weighing what we have come to think is the truth against that which we are learning is the truth. So that pondering, remember we talked about last week, the idea of pondering, that pondering is a good thing. We will find the Christ within ourselves only when we are ready, willing, and able to recognize what truly is the truth. Okay, and this leaves us pondering the question, will it be my will or thy will that will prevail in my life? So as we prepare ourselves for Pam's meditation, let us each contemplate this question. Am I ready? Am I ready to answer the call to surrender my will and return home to my Heavenly Father? And so it is. Amen. All right, now we will have meditation with Pamela.
Okay, Unity family, let's get ready to quiet ourselves, take in a couple of deep breaths in and out, and shift your attention to your heart. Breathe slowly and fully. As your mind calms and stills, ask yourself this question: how do I live from the truth of my being, moment by moment? Sometimes you need time away for the outer world to go within and reawaken to your truth. As you turn within, it's easy to allow the truth into your awareness. Repeat this affirmation to yourself silently as you continue to breathe deeply and slowly. I am a dynamic expression of God on the quest to know and reveal more of my true self. I am a dynamic expression of God on the quest to know and reveal more of my true self. From this awareness, let go of stress, let go of anxiety, let go of thoughts of inadequacy or unworthiness. Right here, right now, in this moment, the expression of God that you are is enough. No matter what is going on in the outer world of your life, you are enough. You are on the quest to your true self. It is a spiritual journey that reveals more and more beauty, joy, fulfillment, and freedom to you each step of the way. This is your true nature, to be a dynamic expression of God. I invite you now to go deeper into the silence of the secret place, deeper into your consciousness. Here you may pray and receive answers to your prayers and commune with Spirit. We thank you, Holy Spirit, that you have heard our prayers this morning and you have answered them as you always do. And now, slowly, easily, and gently bring yourself back to your surroundings and remember the truth of your being. I am a dynamic expression of God on the quest to know and reveal more of my true self. For all these blessings in our lives and the lives of others, we do give thanks in the name and nature of our elder brother and way-shower, Jesus the Christ. And so it is and forever shall be. Amen.
Wonderful. Thank you. And it was very much in line with some of the things we talked about in the talk. So this is the time we open our hearts and minds to allow some of the treasure that flows into our personal life to flow into our spiritual home. And so we ask you to hold your offering in your hand, in your mind, in your spirit, as you we say our offering blessing together. Together we bless and give thanks for these tithes and offerings as they go forth to continue the healing, loving work being done through the Unity Center of Light. Amen. And again, if you did not catch us right in the beginning, we said if you've been moved by this talk and this meditation today and would like to donate to the Unity Center of Light, which we really appreciate, please remember to check right below this, if you're watching on YouTube, right below this YouTube frame, and you will see where it says Show More. And there you'll see the various ways that you can support us. So thank you for that. So now we have Light Notes.
June 12th is the date for the book club discussion on the book What Happened to You by Oprah Winfrey and Bruce Perry. The time is 1 p.m. to 3 p.m. Summer Music Sunday is on June 19th. During the service, we will hear wonderful music from Safi and Quiet the Mountain. We look forward to this music with you. Cape and Springs Fall Retreat is Friday, September the 9th to Sunday, September the 11th. We have space for around 25 people, and we're hoping for a great turnout. Please check your updates and e-newsletter, which include a fillable form for your convenience to register for the weekend. For further details, you may email me at pamosby@msn.com. We are having a grand reopening for in-person church on Sunday, July the 10th. We will be at the Ken Hill Center. And following that date, it will be the first Sunday of each month. All other times will remain virtual. We look forward to seeing you in person. Please remember our protocols for joining us. Thank you.
And just to think, I think those protocols are listed on the website.
I think everybody got them.
Okay.
Patty sent them out to everybody.
Yeah, if you have not received that, again, if you're watching this and you're not on our regular mailing that we send out, to go onto the website and you'll see what the protocols are and how you can, you know, reserve a spot to be there. And we look forward to seeing you then. Okay. So now it's time to
bless the path that we each will walk this week. And we're going to say our affirmation with passion, zeal, and gusto together. I go forward in the Spirit of the Lord, knowing my way is made easy, joyous, healthy, and prosperous. And I am grateful. Amen.
All right, let's go right to our prayer for protection together.
The light of God surrounds us. I am light. The love of God enfolds us. I am love. The power of God protects us. I am power. The presence of God watches over us. I am presence. Wherever we are, God is. I am divine, and all is well. And that's the truth.
All right. So again, thank you so much for joining
us.
Yes. Yeah, it's been a pleasure having you with us today, and we look forward to seeing you
in Zoom.
In Zoom, yeah,
right
after this, okay? So
if not, we wish you a great week.
Yep. Okay, so
all right.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.